expressed and the opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily express those of KCNR Radio and its sponsors. All shows are independently owned and broadcast for entertainment purposes only. Readers and listeners are advised that neither KCNR Radio nor its owners and agents shall be held liable for the content of this program.
Good morning, Summer Friends.
Okay.
I was waiting for a reaction.
Oh, you didn't get it.
Okay.
Just wanted to see how far it'd go.
All righty then. Okay. Anyway, good morning. It's 9/11.
It is.
Yeah, it's September 11th, 2022. I'm your host. My name is Mark Kent. I'm here in the studio with my sister Linda, who does all the heavy lifting.
Good morning. And I want to say that the people out in the field riding horses with their flags, it was good to see you this morning again on 9/11. They're always out there riding back and forth on that
I-5.
Field on I-5. It started with that one lady, but anyway.
And the kid that rocks around the clock. Cyber Day.
I don't think he's rocking yet. He's working on the rocking part.
I think everybody's dragging their butt a little bit this morning for whatever reason. I mean, this morning I got up pretty early and then, I started watching 9/11 videos and.
Yeah, we were watching
that. And I was just like, holy crap, you know. And then, you know, I get so tired of all the propaganda, you know, and you can see going back, like, you know, even the song with Alan Jackson talking about he's not a political man, but he watches CNN. Well, you think about that now. And you go, yeah, no wonder everybody's full of crap. And what did we get out of 9/11? We got the Patriot Act, and things just got worse and worse. And then you look back and you see President, Bush was supposed to be the good guy then, you know. And now you see Bush and Clinton and Obama all in the same meetings.
I was going to say that everybody back then thought George Bush was, you know, the best thing. And then we find out, it wasn't quite the way they portrayed it to us
I think everybody thought George Bush was the better thing.
Better, well.
You know.
And but there was a lot of people that really thought he was doing good for the country, and then we find out, well, not so much.
Yeah.
And the Patriot, not so much. No.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, because that's the whole thing. And once you give the government a certain amount of power, it wields it against everybody after a while. That's the problem.
You pick and choose.
It does it after a while, you know, because it depends on who's in power and who likes who. And that's the problem that we're having now. It's like the big media push. Oh, the MAGA crowd they're all fascist. And you're like, what? Okay. So. We want freedom. We want closed borders. We want less government intervention. We don't want our money getting stolen to the government for pet projects. And we don't want dropping off, billions of dollars of equipment in Iraq. And, you know, we don't want to be a part of this, world reset. And we don't want to be a part of the world, economic forum and climate change and all that crap. So
we don't want to be slaves. So we're the bad ones.
But the guys that are, issuing warrants to people without cause, that are going and raiding, you know, their political rivals, Mar-a-Lago estates, the guys that are, you know, saying they're for your freedom, but only for certain classes of freedom, that say that you're the racist while they target white people, and it's like, who's the fascist here?
Well, like we've talked many times, everything's the opposite.
Well, and for context, too, so on Friday we had Steve Bannon on the Charlie Kirk show come out and say that at least 35 senior Trump allies were raided by the FBI regime yesterday, and then you also ended up having another person that was Harmit K. DeLeon. I can confirm this happened to many Trump allies, as I know as well, who she's an attorney, but you look at this and you've got these top aides, that's Gestapo.
Well, that's but that's what a fascist regime does. They target all their political opponents for, you know, they make and Trump up, if you will, anything they can to you know, attack them. You know, they discredit them, they belittle them, the media is complicit in all this crap, you know, and what do they want? More and more government. Bigger government, more power to the government, more take our money, you know, and of course, we keep borrowing money we don't have so that the Treasury can issue bonds that are backed by nothing that, get bought by dollars that are backed by nothing and printed out of thin air to fund us into this huge trillion dollar debt that, you know, if you just ask yourself one simple question, if it was our money, why would we charge ourselves interest? Who do we owe? China's been dumping our dollars. We are already in a world world of economic hurt. Yep. And it's going to get nothing but worse. So batten down the hatches, and they're going to probably use the government lever and pry bar to coerce you into, oh, we're here to help, you know. And
that's what they're striving for, you know. And back to what we were saying earlier, you know, whatever they're accusing us of and all of that, what they're doing. So you have to look at it, whatever subject they're on, and they're saying, no, you're bad. They're doing this. Look at what they're doing, because that's probably
doing. It's been all along. It's like the whole attack on Trump was a cover up for the emails in the server for Hillary. I mean, that's why they did it. You know,
that's
so they try
problem.
To flip the script on everybody. And I don't think this is a partisan issue as much as that it's an out of control government evil regime issue. It seems like these guys that keep getting in power, they don't give a rat's ass about anybody but getting in power.
Yeah, well, and when you look at what's going on, you look at that speech, you basically have Biden going up there and saying that 74 million Americans are extremist terrorists and need to be handled.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the beating of the war drums. That's the type of crap we saw in 2000 when Bush started talking about going to war in all these countries, which, mind you, since we've gone to war in the other countries, somehow now we're friends and on the side of Al-Qaeda?
Huh?
How the heck does that happen?
Well, it's right.
We changed sides two times.
It's like 1984 crap, you know. It's like, who are we at war this week? Whoever we tell you we're at war with.
And we're working with the Taliban, last I heard. That's cool. That's great.
Yeah.
Does that surprise you?
No, not really. Not when we have an entire building that ends up crashing and careening down and going down to dust in the dirt, but yet somehow the guy's passport survives.
So, are we going to get more of this? Yeah, absolutely. I wanted to play a clip you sent me on, you know, this kind of illustrates a little bit of the targeting. Okay, this is Tucker Carlson, a little minute and a half clip, minute 50 seconds. But what it talks about, all of a sudden they're trying to flip the script that the vaccine is now all of Trump's fault, because we're getting more and more reports of vaccine deaths and vaccine injuries, vaccine, all of this stuff. And nobody wants to take any responsibility.
No, and they're starting to get lawsuits and everything and what they implemented 2 years ago over the jab. They're starting to hold people accountable for their BS.
And at the same time, these guys are so out of touch with reality. I got a clip here. This is from 9/7, and it shows at a White House briefing the response. And basically, their response is, God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and one for the COVID shot.
I saw that. It's like, are you kidding me?
I can play it right
now.
It's like,
Meanwhile, you've got a young kid who's playing football who recently had to have 6 feet of blood clots taken out of his legs. You've got all kinds of situations and all kinds of new studies that are coming out showing that the vaccine was more harmful than not taking it.
Right.
And these are peer-reviewed studies that are all over the place.
Let's listen to the clip because that's what it addresses.
Okay.
All right, here we go. Are we ready to go?
Finally tell the truth about the
vaccine. Okay, here we go. I'll turn it up.
Maybe?
Here we go.
Now that we can blame Donald Trump for the vaccine, we can finally tell the truth about the vaccine without being fired or attacked or thrown off the internet. We really should have thought of this earlier because it feels good, the freedom of this. So let's take a moment to talk about Donald Trump's vaccine and why it seems to be, among other things, dramatically raising death rates among young people. According to data from New Zealand, the government there, for example, children who were vaccinated between the ages of 10 and 19 were more likely, not less likely, more likely to die within a month of vaccination than those who didn't take the vaccine in the same age group. And it's not just the New Zealand government that has found this. This summer, a Dutch researcher called André Rader published a paper entitled COVID-19 Vaccinations and All-Cause Mortality. The research analyzed hundreds of cities and towns. What did it find? Quote, "We could not observe a mortality-reducing effect of vaccination in Dutch municipalities after vaccination and booster campaigns. We did find a 4-sigma significant mortality-enhancing effect during the 2 periods of high unexplained excess mortality." Oh, so the data suggest, don't prove, but suggest, the vaccine may be killing people. Unexplained mortality is also on the rise in many other countries, Australia, England, Wales. But as Alex Berenson reported on his Substack recently, the Canadian government is seeing a similar problem at huge scale. As of this summer, people who took Donald Trump's vaccine in the Canadian province of Manitoba are roughly 50% more likely than the unvaccinated to be hospitalized or die from COVID. Again, to pause. How bad is Donald Trump's vaccine? So bad that people who take it are more likely to die of COVID.
Yeah, how did that work? Let's see. To begin with, it was Dr. Fauci's vaccine.
Now you got to listen to the science.
It's Donald Trump's vaccine.
Wait a minute.
It was Pfizer's jab, and now it's Donald Trump's jab.
He was science. He is science.
Oh.
So I got this little brief thing that I'm going to play here, and it's one of the flu shots, you know, one for the flu shot, one for COVID shot, says the White House COVID response coordinator. Okay, so this is Dr. Ashish Jha, I guess is how you pronounce it, and sitting right next to him is the guy who just was Becerra, was the attorney general. He's on the response team now, I guess, but you can't make this crap up. These guys... talk about hook, line, and sinker. I mean, all this evidence is coming out, and they're basically saying that you gotta put a shot in each arm now. That's why you have them?
Yeah, that's the only reason we have two arms, right?
All right, here we go. This is the White House.
I really believe this is why God gave us two arms, one for the flu shot and the other one for the COVID shot.
Wow. Well,
yeah, I have two arms. But they're not for that, buddy. Let me show you what my two arms can do.
I have two middle fingers.
Well, I have two arms.
So it does. That's what mine are for, to hold up my middle fingers.
On this, did you see that their state senators and the frontline doctors are starting to indict CDC officials?
Yeah, I guess they just missed that on CNN, right? Well, CNN's doing a big purge, too. Everybody's going to lose their job over there. I guess they got some new guy in there that wants to get rid of everybody. You know, whether it works out to be a good network or not, is that he wants to get rid of the woke guys in there for whatever reason. Maybe it's to just make a big show of it. Maybe he actually wants to report the truth. Who knows? But they've lost so much credibility that I don't think they're ever going to pull out of this nosedive.
Can you pull up the video I just sent you? Because it's going to tie right into this absolutely perfectly. So we were just discussing about how Fauci is science. And I've got right here.
You're not talking about the Gandalf one, are you?
I am talking about that one.
I don't know if I can play this or not. Hold on a second. Oh, this is from the Freedom.
It's from Freedom Tunes. I already watched it.
Okay, so we don't have to worry about getting...
you don't have to worry. It's close, but...
Close doesn't count.
Only in horseshoes and hand grenades, I guess. But.
So before we play this...
Yeah, give us a little bit of a setup.
23 hours ago, Matt Walsh from Daily Wire ended up posting this picture of the Memphis Museum of Science and History will be hosting an all-ages drag queen party featuring drag queens, Lettuce Flame, Angel Farts. There will be a cash bar dancing and cross-dressing to go along with the children in attendance.
This is a classic example of what we're kind of talking about as far as fascism. See, they want to have the freedom to do whatever they want.
No, this is a museum of science.
But
this
what I'm saying is they want to use public money. They want to force it down your throat and make you play their little game and do their pronouns and all that crap. So they don't want to give you the freedom to opt out. They want to make sure everybody gets it shoved down their throat. That's not freedom. If you want to go act like a total idiot, go someplace out of my sight. I don't care. Leave my kids out of it. Leave my money out of it. See, that's what fascism is when you have a narrative and you force everybody else into your little delusion. World of the narrative.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, and they don't show the other side of it. I'm sorry. They don't show the other side, just like the jab. They don't show all the people that have had
injuries
all of that, the transgender thing going, oh my God, I wish I would have never done it. I was 11 years old. My parents, they never show the side effects about how bad things are getting for those people.
It's like a 50% suicide rate after they hit like 25 or something. You know, gee, that's something to look forward to.
You have higher suicide rates in the transgender community than you saw during the Holocaust.
Yeah, that's something to look forward to. Because what happens is when a child starts to mature finally and grow up and they realize that they've ruined their freaking life and it's not retrievable.
That's what I was going to say. It's not like you can go, oh, I decided to go back to what I was. It doesn't work that way.
No.
Well, and when
that's because it's delusional to say that.
Well, you've already deformed yourself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's like that Matt Walsh thing. He's got this blue-haired demon, as I call her. And she's a lady of science who is sitting there, and as soon as he mentions that you're giving these children Lupron, which is the same drug you use to chemically castrate sex offenders, she starts freaking out and doesn't want to do the interview anymore and says how he's being hateful and hurtful and violent.
Right. Yeah. Well, that's their game. If you don't agree with them, you're hateful, you're violent, you're a fascist. See, all the name calling starts. It doesn't matter if that's grounded in facts or anything. All it matters is that now you're going to be branded with that. And then they're going to run stories all over their controlled media and try to discredit you and brand you and you're a fascist and the MAGA movement. And that's how so instead of focusing on the problem, they focus on the political enemy because then they get power. This is all a big game, and if you can't see it, you're not very bright. So I'll go ahead and play this. This is how Hollywood reboots franchises is the title of it.
And so I want to set this up a little bit more. You look at Disney, and they've come out recently and said that they are going to push full on forward with all the grooming, with everything else that we don't want them to do. And you have Amazon that did the Gandalf remake and all of the, I think it's called The Rings or whatnot, but
yeah, I don't watch any of that crap.
They ended up screwing the whole series and the whole franchise up and turning it all into this crazy woke leftism. And this I think brutally mocks it the way it deserves.
Go woke, go broke. Okay, here we go, and then we'll go from there.
Cast it into flames. Destroy it.
No. I don't have the strength because of my disgusting white skin.
There are black trans women anywhere.
I am, but I won't destroy the ring because it's actually good. The books were wrong.
And then the characters repent of their whiteness and jump into the fires of Mount Doom.
It's brilliant, but will it piss the fans off enough?
Why don't we just try to tell a good story.
Oh, you're such an idiot. Reboots aren't about making good stories. It's about taking something that people love and then shitting all over it. So then when they get upset, you can go,
oh, but the white man's upset.
Here's what we do. Broke back Mount Doom.
I'm so glad we're gay together.
Me too, Sam.
No. That's not gay enough. How about this?
And that, my friends, is how you tuck it in between your legs. Next week, we'll learn a binding spell for your chest.
Gandalf, what if I don't want to be a transgender?
You
shall not pass!
I'm going to write a bad review.
No, no. You really want to upset them? Say it appeals to you as a Trump supporter.
Brilliant.
Okay, you gotta read the texts that are coming in.
Become
on
a member.
It's a little bit of a visual here. It says that the texts are coming. Extremely appealing to MAGA conservatives. As a centrist, I love how colorblind the portrayal of the orcs was. And then we got another one. Loved it. Very pro-Trump. I think that's it. Good grief. But it does illustrate, and these parodies of these things are good because it really illustrates the hypocrisy, the lying, the delusional, narrative that these guys are trying to force down everybody's throat. But I don't think anybody's really buying it that has an ounce of common sense.
Well, so. I think it's starting to backfire because more and more people are starting to stand up against it, whether it's in the school system or wherever it is, because then they're seeing the effects on the children. And they're, before, if one thing good came out of COVID maybe was that it did cause the parents and people to be more in tune to what was going on with the educational system and what agenda was being pushed there, and they're starting to plug in the school system, superintendents of schools, things like that.
Right, across the board.
Across our nation where we didn't have that before.
Right. Well, and that's kind of what's happening, and this is kind of a worldwide thing that's happening here.
That's true, too.
You've got the squeeze that's going on from all the different government agencies to take control through the banking, through the money, through the media, through their plants in our government. Even though I heard a black lady who's now getting, I can't remember her name, called to resign. I think it's Georgia, where she started, being totally racist towards white people, and that's acceptable to be totally racist towards white people, but the point is that they're so out of touch. She was talking about putting plants, we need to put plants in the Republican Party and tear it down.
Mm-hmm.
But you start to see, they've been doing that for years. You got guys that are all, we're a Republican, we're conservative, and they do everything that the left wants to do. That's one of the biggest problems we have in California. We got a bunch of guys that say they're conservative.
We have an instance of, there's two things going on, two really good examples. The king has no clothes.
Right.
That's going on right now to where you have all these people that are all just lockstep and don't want to step out of line, because if you step out of line, you're in trouble. But it's
You lose your job, you lose your pension, you get fired, or you get ostracized. All these people working for the media, working for the government, all of them.
Well, and it's worse than the king has no clothes, because there was a study that was done with monkeys a while ago. There was a ladder that was placed up, and at the top of the ladder was some bananas. And so when the monkey would go up to the bananas, somebody in there would spray down all of the other monkeys with a fire hose. And
I've heard this study.
Not the monkey that ended up going up and grabbing the banana.
Pretty soon all the other monkeys start attacking the one that's going up the ladder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so what ends up happening is, what's going on in the media? What's going on with censorship? My TikTok account this last week got permanently banned at 1,800 followers.
Well, I think you probably deserved it because I can't see through the lighting, but I think you're white.
And to your point on here, it says in state after state, Democrats are running as Republicans to get into office.
Right.
They even have a name for it. They call it secret sleepers.
That's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, it's more important than ever to do your freaking research.
Right.
It's not a D versus R situation.
It's showing up to these meetings. It's listening to what they have to say. It's looking at their track record, what they've done before. Have they been in politics? What do they espouse? When they talk about things, what do they say? What's their stances? That type of thing.
If you're not willing to do that, for God's sakes, do us all a favor and don't vote.
Well, we've seen that in local politics, not mentioning any names. We've seen where they'll say anything and do anything, get elected and get in there, and then their track record becomes something else.
I'm a fiscal conservative. Let's spend some more money on health and human services.
Yeah.
Okay, so I want to go to the break a little early because I want to play this full clip. This is a little bit of a 9/11 tribute here. I want to play this fully. the full minute of it. And
okay,
then,
can I well, cover this real quick?
No, let's do it. You'll come back. We'll come back and then.
And we have guests too.
Yeah, so we have guests.
So,
yeah,
so with that, we will go to a break. If you want to call in after the break and all of our good stuff, give us a call, 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Probably need to do announcements too.
Sunny days seem to hurt the most. I wear the pain like a heavy coat. I feel you everywhere I go. I see your smile, I see your face. I hear you laughing in the rain. I still can't believe you're gone. It ain't fair you died too young, like a story that hadn't just begun. But death tore the pages all away. God knows how I miss you. All the hell that I've been through. Just knowing no one could take your place. Sometimes I wonder who you'd be today.
Dak Prescott here. Why do I choose proven quality sleep from Sleep Number? Because better sleep elevates my game. Only my Sleep Number 360 smart bed helps me fall asleep faster, keeps me cool, and effortlessly adjusts for my best sleep. The result? 28 minutes more restful sleep a night. That's more focus, more edge, and more highlights. And that means more wins for all of us.
Don't miss the final days of the biggest sale of the year. Save 50% on the Sleep Number 360 limited edition smart bed. Ends Monday. To learn more, go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, the official sleep and wellness partner of the NFL.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
HGA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill we all have to pay? The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Common Senior Living. One of the most rewarding things about what I do is watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive. At River Commons, we solve those challenges. You are surrounded by friendly people with similar life experiences. Chef Shalisa and her crew provide 3 delicious and healthy meals daily. Activities Director Ernie always has a wide variety of things to do, from arts and crafts to outings on our 25-passenger bus. Plus, we provide utilities, cable TV, scheduled transportation, weekly housekeeping, and more. We see seniors go from survive to thrive, and that is just a wonderful thing. Call today for a tour or luncheon a tour and experience River Commons for yourself. 221-2121 or on the web river-commons.com.
All the talking heads on TV, they're selling their lies. Saying their way is better for living my life. And I'm fed up with them set up all high on that hill. They never gave a damn about a common man. Hell, they never will. You can say what you want to about the things I hold you and the fabric that makes up this red, white, and blue. 'Cause I'll fight for my country till the day that I'm done. And I've still got my God. I still got my gun.
Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media. Community Radio for the North State, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. And we have guests in the studio.
Yes, we do. But before we do, they would like me to make an announcement about the school board candidates meet and greet Saturday on September 24th.
Okay.
From 12 to 2 p.m., Lake Redding Park gazebo area. I said I would, so there you go.
You did. You said you would, and you did.
I will.
Well, there you have
it. And I have. So back to our guests. We do have guests in the studio. We've got Patty and Ron Plum.
From the Freedom Coalition.
Yes, indeed.
Absolutely.
Welcome.
Thank you. We're talking about all things freedom today.
We're talking about those beautiful machines.
That's right. Yeah. Such an opportunity. We're so glad to be with you folks just to get the correct information out to the community about how things have been through the history of our voting process and what we've found out to be sure and to know for sure that, yes, the voting machines have been set up on purpose to steal our vote, to be manipulated from outside the office, maybe even outside of our country. And so all this evidence came forth, has been coming forth. But we went back to a Moment of Truth Summit with Mike Lindell and 1,000 other brilliant people and heard 27 hours of evidence to say, yes, the voting machines have got to go. They have to be turned off, unplugged, melted down, and made into prison bars. We can use that in our new jail, right? Don't we need some bars in our new jail?
Well, we could always use materials to make it cheaper, right?
Well, it's...
recycle.
I think it's
recycling.
I think this election thing is a multi-pronged attack.
Yeah.
From a lot of different sources. We know about the FBI, you know, covering up the laptop for Hunter Biden. We know about the media being complicit with that. Right. You know, there's the 2,000 mules.
Right.
With all of the stuffing of the ballot boxes that, you know, it's really funny. Anytime you have a whole bunch of evidence, you know, all the mainstream media and the meatheads that follow the mainstream media are all yelling, where's the evidence?
Right.
Well, we're trying to show it to you, but you won't put it on the air, you know.
Selection code was another one that came out.
Selection code.
Right, yeah.
So here we are.
And more and more evidence just keeps coming out from all the different states.
Yes.
You know, I just saw something in Tennessee. I mean, it just keeps coming out.
They voted out the ballot boxes. I believe it's in Wisconsin last week.
Racine County, right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to focus on today is the machines.
Yes.
The Dominion machines. And I guess there's other different brands.
Well, there's other
well.
Ones, and I think, and
ES
they're and just S. as inaccurate, I guess, would be the term
Absolutely.
To use.
Anything electronic can be used against us and rigged. And so what we have here, of course, in 58 counties of California, we have 40 of them that are using Dominion machines, and then the others are using ES&S and another one, Heart something. But all of them can be manipulated. And so the interesting thing about our county is that we've gone in, we've looked at the machines, we've watched them, it's like we're looking at fraud right in front of us, but they're so complicated, and they've made them complicated so that you have to have a specialist come in and adjust and do whatever. It's like inviting the bank robber to come in and watch the vault, right? I mean, seriously.
Right.
Kathy doesn't know how to do it. Her assistants don't know.
Oh, and it can't be hooked up to the internet, but they can be programmed to...
But they are hooked
up.
They are hooked up.
But we keep hearing that over and over again, but how hard is it to put a wireless modem in something?
Exactly. And that's what they're designed to do that.
Yep.
So when they buy them, that's it. They don't know how to tear them apart and look at the inside of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but the bottom line is they're all designed to be manipulated from the outside.
Right.
Right. Our machines here, they were actually hardwired.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was quite evident, you know, that yes, you are connected,
mm-hmm.
you know.
And we walked in with the devices that show all the electronic and the internet things that are hooked up and the modems and the little FOP thing for the Tesla cars, because that's what the Dominion machine specialists come. They drive the Tesla cars in, you know. So anyways, there's so many levels. It's amazing. So our goal is not to count on one person to fix this. We're not going to count on Kathy Darling or even another elected official. We, the people. It's our turn. This is our Red Sea moment. We've got
to rise up and stand before
these machines like the Tiananmen Square, the students in front of those tanks, and say no. we're not going to do this. And we heard the other day that 10,000 of those students were killed that day, June 4th, 1989, Tiananmen Square. And where was the broadcast of all their lives? So here we are. This is this important, and that's why the opportunity to have Dr. Douglas Frank come to our town with our actual numbers for Shasta County and share them with us at the County Board of Supervisors meeting, also with some private meetings with some of our elected officials, Tuesday afternoon, the 13th, and then 6 o'clock at the location, Hillside Church, 621 Twinview Boulevard. Everyone's welcome to come. It is $20. Get your tickets online through Shasta Freedom Coalition or come to the door, pay at the door, but get there. This guy has traveled with Seth Keschel. He's like Seth Keschel on steroids. The two of them together have gone all throughout California for the last 2 months to 20 counties and educated everyone. So Seth Keschel did a great job on the 1st of July, but we love Dr. Frank for so many more reasons to get the accurate information into the hands of the people so that we can decide if we want machines any longer.
Yeah, he actually breaks down the different precincts, and he looks at the voting rolls mm-hmm. and who voted and who didn't vote. One of the things that really struck a chord with me, we went down to Fresno to listen to him on one of his talks, and he said when the machines are functioning, they not only tell you if you voted, they also tell you who didn't vote.
Mm-hmm.
So who didn't mm-hmm. vote, then they have these.
Well, they know how many ballots.
How many do they need?
Exactly.
It's he said right, that's where the real juice is, mm-hmm. is that they can call in as many as they want. And so it's all programmed to be manipulated. Mm-hmm.
Well,
that's the thing.
My question is this, real simple. What's the purpose of these machines in the first place? Is it for the ease of the voter registrar to count them easier? Is it because it used to be we could get election results like that night. Mm-hmm. Now it's like 14 days, to 3 weeks.
Election month.
We always did. My mom was always involved with counting, you know, the election and counting the votes. When I was a kid, I'm like, listen, well, I got to go count the votes because we got to get this stuff in. Mm. And it was not that big of a deal. I mean, it was a big deal. She took it as very,
sure,
very important.
As far as important, but as far as the actual operation and the mechanics of getting it done,
correct.
It's not that difficult, especially in the county of this size, to have a bank of 10 people counting up the votes, and then you can check them, and you should get the election results that night, not this month-long thing where, while they're evaluating and this hasn't come in, and, well, we've got all these ballots that are, not in the mail, and mm-hmm. we got to know what the cutoff date is. They've turned this thing into a complicated mess.
Yeah, certainly. They have.
But when we were back, when we were kids, our aunt used to count, do it.
Yeah.
In Hay Fork.
Mm-hmm.
Aunt Glenda used to do during election.
Right.
And it took the community. Everybody got involved in it and was part of the election process back
that's
then.
Right. Precinct.
And you knew on that day.
Yep. Right.
It was going to be, 10, 11 o'clock by the time you got home because you were one of the counters. Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're asking for. We just want to get rid of the electronics of this. We don't need electronic voting. We need voting like the Amish. Let's just do it simple. Let's get 1,000 people in each precinct. Let's get back into the garages.
Right.
If they can do this in France and have a one-day voting in France, we can certainly do this here. And I will tell you, the history of the electronic voting goes all the way back to 1962. A lot was going on in 62. I remember watching November 22nd, 1963. I was just a toddler, but I watched this car go over and over in the TV. And I knew that my mom was really upset that day, and my dad. And I asked later, as I was a child, when NASA did their stuff, I said, who killed John F. Kennedy? And he said, the CIA. And I said, well, they're not very nice. I don't even know who they were. But with that, all this has been set in motion. There's been a plan to steal our country through stealing of the election first. And that's always how you take over a country. So right now, we have 209 countries. 56 of us are still under the control of election voting fraud through machines and through electronics. And so the gentleman that created the program, his name is Clint Curtis. You can go back and watch his video. He's actually a Democrat. Brilliant guy. But he created the program for the 49-50% election. 51 to manipulate the election. So he brought that out and confessed, and he's like, this has turned on all of us, even the Democrats. All of us are having our election stolen, no matter which way. So each year, now he's gone to these other countries, and the last country he set free from these machines was France. He's gone to the countries and set countries free because now he partnered with Mike Lindell out there in Missouri. He's like, I'm done with all this fraud. I've asked them over and over, and now I'm with you to bring all of this out because the people have to win this county by county. And that's what Sidney Powell told me. She said, go get your county May 28th. 2021. She says fraud vitiates everything, and if you can prove there's fraud in your county, you go to your sheriff and try to bring them into the party and see what they'll do if they have a backbone.
There's a court decision on that. I can't remember the exact side.
A lot's going on. You're right with the sheriffs right now. They're doing it.
But, you know, it seems to me that this should go across the aisles, both right and left, because the real deal is that if you've got guys that are purporting to be Democrats that are Republicans, or mostly, you know, Democrats that are purporting to be Republicans, what happens is that people can get in and control counties. All they have to do is have their guys go in and win those counties or those states.
Then they're locked in.
And then they're locked in. I mean, and we know from the World Economic Forum and Klaus Schwab, for example, that they've got guys that are their students, their disciples, whatever you want to call them. And they've named some of them. We've got lists of them. You know, Newsom's one. Yep. Trudeau's one. And so if some of them are Republicans.
Sure. Rhinos all day long.
But so, like she just said earlier about Clint, he was a Democrat. He designed the program, and he's coming forward and say, whoa, wait a minute.
Right.
I didn't realize what was going to happen, I guess, basically.
Yeah, 20 years ago.
Well, because what you end up doing is, in this kind of a case, you end up selling the offices to the highest bidders is
right.
what it sounds
exactly.
like.
It's all about the money, right?
And what you did, actually.
We have disintegrated in our character and our virtue to the point that you can buy.
Yeah.
You can buy whatever you want,
sure.
and these people are selling their souls thinking that they're going to get something out of that.
They're going to get something out of it, all right.
They're
going to
get.
Probably not going to what they think.
No, you're exactly right.
We all have judgment day.
Absolutely right.
Exactly.
Right. You know, Joseph Stalin said in 48, 49, I don't care who votes.
Votes.
I care who counts the votes.
Right.
And that's the key. We have to realize that this has been a slow burn.
Mm-hmm.
This has been, everybody has said for years and years, it's like boiling the frog.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, we have adjusted to loss of liberty for such a long time that we don't even realize things have changed.
Oh my
right.
gosh,
you know, and we are not okay with not allowing our kids to be able to walk downtown or to ride down and get a burger or a, you know what I'm saying? It's not safe anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And things have to change. We have to come to our own Lexington Bridge moment.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying violence. I'm saying we've got to stand up.
Yeah, and say no more. And this Clint Curtis, I will say, back in 2000, he was invited into the party to have a program that would solve the problem. Because if you remember what happened in 2000, it was that little Chad thing that was going on. I'm like,
hanging Chad.
Yeah. We can't do that anymore. We got to kind of go over to this now, and this will be a free and fair election. So that's how we started getting, you know, our frog legs cooked.
Yep.
And so here we are today, and it could not be a better time for every county to stand up and say, okay, come on, Sheriff, we're going to give you the evidence and what we have for you. I want to thank you, Mark, for offering to do the audit, but of course the money, that didn't make any sense. And it doesn't make any sense to recount the money in a cash register when some of those bills are counterfeit. Why would we recount all those ballots?
Yeah, you got to get the same
number.
Yeah. You got to do a forensic audit in there to find out what's going on.
Things really went.
Yeah, but even still, we have to, as citizens, we have to do a citizens audit, and that's what we're doing. Dr. Frank, Seth Keschel told us before they left, they said, well, first of all, I asked Seth Keschel, I said, okay, you were in Reading yesterday, and here we are in Fresno. What do you need us to do? He goes, oh, ask Kevin Cry. He knows. And I went, okay. So I went and asked Kevin Cry, and he's like, well, I'm canvassing. I said, well, you're canvassing for yourself. He's talking about canvassing for phantom voters. Do you know there's a difference? And he's like, well, I got to get out there and canvass. I said, well, yes, you're right. You got to do that. But nothing's going to change if we don't prove that our election process is criminal and it's fraud, and you're not going to even get elected unless we get rid of these machines because they're manipulating.
It's also rigged on the challenge because, you know, so they made this big thing about, this was Les Baugh, which I don't really, you know, have a lot of good things to say about Les Baugh.
Yeah.
I agree.
Because of, you know,
track
record, whichever way the wind blows. But so I get a thing saying that you can challenge the election, but you have to pay $11,000 a day to do it.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, wow, you know, so, and then I'm going to get the same numbers.
Right, exactly.
Exactly
so
the same numbers, you know, because it would have been foolish.
Garbage.
Yeah, exactly. So.
But why can't we audit the election no matter what and have it open book where we can examine everything, not just recounting. Look right. at the ballot.
Yep.
I mean, why does it cost us $11,000
exactly?
Because, even to begin to open it?
Well, mm-hmm. they even had an itemized list of who you're paying. The first thing you're paying is the attorney to oversee the thing.
But we pay them anyway. That's
well,
my
I
point.
Know, right. but I get it. But what, and then you're paying for the yeah. hours of all the guys that are working on it, you know, and they got it, that all itemized.
And they set it up for that. So it's
absolutely.
Difficult.
They've set
right,
it up
yeah.
so that it can't be done.
So, right. and I get exactly. you don't want to just count every election, because what happens is you'll just end up in an endless recount. Mm-hmm. But you've got to make the election process pure to begin
yes.
with so that you
that
can...
That is my point on
yeah.
it. So the big thing on this, I'm going to play devil's advocate for a minute, because here's the problem that I see. Once you separate your paper ballot from that envelope,
that's
you
right.
have no way of actually
There's
going
no,
back
signatures no accountability.
Well, you know,
right.
you know why they want the ballot boxes, right?
Right.
Because... that people can go over and over and over to the same ballot boxes with more and more ballots.
2,000 mules.
And there's nobody watching them. That's the
Correct.
Whole point.
Right.
You know, unless I think this election, we might be having ballot box parties out there, you know, where people just spend the day and night there, you know, watching, because it's really hard to get out of your car and stuff 30 ballot boxes in three or four times without somebody going, hey, wait a minute, weren't you here last, you know, 20 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm. Well, in 1998, that's when they changed things, and they said, okay, no longer are we going to have the absentee ballots, which are traditional, good, legal ballots, because you have to have an ID, you have to have your military, you're
right.
shut in, you're disabled or whatever to get an absentee ballot, right? I can remember my parents doing that a little bit. So 1998, everything changes. I come visiting from North Carolina, and I've got my four kids, and I look at my mom, and she's like, oh, I got my ballot, and I put it in the mail. I'm like, why? Why would you put that in the mail, Mom? You got to go stand in the booth and have a little curtain. Remember how we did that? You know, you got to do
right.
it. And she's like, no, I'm just going to mail because of comfort and because of convenience. We have gone along with this, and we've been played.
There needs to be some provisions for, like, the servicemen
oh,
and
yeah,
things
yeah.
like that. You're
absolutely.
Saying.
You're right,
but
right,
they
Mark.
Can't even
yeah.
get those out correctly but, to the servicemen as it is. As it sits, the office here was late getting the ballots
right.
out to the servicemen.
Well, but then you go to... The big thing that happened in the last couple years is this COVID emergency,
oh, yeah.
and they changed the rules.
Oh, yep. yeah. Mm-hmm.
But this was even before COVID. But my thing with the ballots is why do you have to have separate ballots? Explain to me why you have a mail-in ballot and the ballot that I receive in the mail,
mm-hmm.
but I can't use the one I receive in the mail to go into the machine. I have to go in and surrender that and get another one. Explain that to me. Why you have all these different types of, and I don't mean you directly,
yeah, yeah. Right, right.
the office, that you have to get a new ballot mm-hmm. when you go in, and you have to put it in backwards.
Well, and then, and the thing is about it, is if you don't write on there, I mean, because you have to write but on
you're
there, voided.
Yeah, they don't tell you that.
They don't tell you that, but
yeah,
if you
exactly.
write on their ballot, they voided, they can't use that ballot again. But how many people know that? How many people just surrender
exactly.
it? And how many times, how are you setting yourself up for fraud? And now you got printers that can print a dollar that looks good.
Exactly. Right.
And so they can print anything they want up, and we yeah. don't even know, and they won't mm-hmm. check the paper, and yeah. now...
Well, that's my point. So you go in, if you mailed it in, they'd run it in the machine, right? Mm-hmm. Or supposed to.
Right.
But if you walk it in, you can't put it in the machine.
Mm-hmm.
So what are you doing with those ballots, and how are you handling them?
Exactly.
Well, and a lot of this, too, when you end up getting down to the nitty-gritty of it, I agree we need to do something mm-hmm. about this, and we need to do it quickly. But you look at our lottery system in California. I can go right now and purchase a ticket for Thursday night's drawing. They have me show ID to prove that I'm of age to be able
it's
to do that.
It's a simple fix to do this.
I
really
pick
is.
My numbers, and that evening, we all know how many tickets won. I know within 20 minutes.
This is yeah. There's a real mm-hmm. simple fix here. ID, there's several simple fixes, mm-hmm. but they don't want to do it. And then we've got Kathy Allen Darling. Is she going to destroy these records now?
Right, right. This is the big tell.
This is the big tell,
yeah,
I think.
Tuesday,
yeah.
And we'll find that out Tuesday.
Right, right. So what
you know,
we did,
she's going to stand before the Board of Supervisors. And, of course, you know, I know Patty was there to ask them, and they decided they would vote to send her a note. You know, it's so caught up in bureaucracy. The bureaucracy has strangled us.
Right.
And we
mm-hmm.
have got to determine how much of this garbage are we going to keep putting up with.
Well,
we
learning,
can't swim in that hot water anymore.
I'm learning the process, too, trying to be put on the agenda, for one thing. I learned that. So what I had done is on August 2nd, I went to I sent an email to Tim Garman thinking, okay, I'm going to talk to him and see he can help me understand
how to... Is he your supervisor?
Well, no. Okay. But I want to give him a shot at it. Yeah, I know it's Patrick Jones. I thought, well, he's going to do the right thing. But I thought I'd give Tim a shot at it and see what he's going to do. So I sent him an email and I said, hey, Tim, I'd really like to be put on the agenda for the next meeting, which was the 30th of August. And he didn't give me any response back. So then I saw him at a fundraising event on the 11th. And I said, hey, mister. He goes, oh, yeah, I saw that. I don't know if Les is going to go for it. And I said, well, why does Les have so much power? Why can't you? And we don't need another Les, for goodness sake. Right. Tim, come on now. So he kind of hem-hawed me and everything. He goes, oh, I'll get back with you. Nothing. Crickets. So then when I get to the meeting, they start saying, well, you're not on the agenda. Well, so of course I'm not. You know. And so then Les calls me and scolds me and tells me that I didn't do it right and this and that. And I said, well, Les, this is really important. I want you to have the correct numbers for Shasta County, and Dr. Frank can give that to you. He goes, I'm not interested. I don't want to know the numbers for Shasta County, because he was saying this was all about Minnesota. I said, it's not about Minnesota. Nationwide, we've got all the numbers. All this stuff is coming down. This is such a tidal wave. Everyone needs to get their surfboards and get on this election.
Yeah, they don't care.
The machines.
Well, don't you understand?
That's very scary that he doesn't even want to begin to look at numbers for your own county, really?
And I'm not
Because you're going out of office?
And I'm not.
You don't give a...
That's what he said.
And I'm not casting aspersions on Tim because he's the chairman,
sure.
And he's the swing vote either way. So that's why he has the power, is he has the swing vote to go with the other guys or go with these guys. And so if you can't get it past Baugh, you can't get it past anybody. So.
But how crazy is that? If anybody asks for something to be put on the agenda, why does it come down to one person to say yes or no?
Right.
Well, that's because he's the chairman. Yeah, that's why. But right, wrong, or indifferent, or change the rules,
I'm just saying that.
But that's why Modi. That's why Modi was such a problem. He would kill everything that he didn't like. And here's the question I have as well as this. We all know we're in a pretty conservative county, right?
That's right.
Okay, it's like 65% conservatives is what the numbers I've heard. Why do we have a Democratic register of voters? Why do we have a Democratic DA? Why do we have a Democratic school board, directors or superintendent of schools?
Yeah.
That in itself makes zero sense to me.
Right.
And then you hear about all of these funded people across the nation that's been proven George Soros has been funding these guys and putting his guys in place. Now, for me, 2 and 2 equals 4 a lot of times. And I'm not saying that there's fire here, but it seems like there's a lot of smoke because that does not make any sense to me. And then, you know, Baugh's up there saying, well, it's name recognition. In this climate?
No.
I don't think so. I don't think so. No. I think everybody's past name recognition. I think everybody's past into, are you a conservative or are you a liberal?
Mm-hmm. You're right, Mark.
And looking at the numbers, like you say, so a lot of the Republicans, quote unquote, ran over and voted Democrat, because if you look at the numbers,
I know,
they
whacked.
Don't add up. Yeah, they're whacked they're up. Whacked. It's like, okay, so we had, let's say, for example, 25,000.
Catherine Darling was like, what, she won like 68%?
Yeah,
of the
it's
votes?
Like, it wow, sense? So all of a sudden I decided to be a Democrat for that office. And the other thing with that is, nobody likes their district attorney. I'm sorry. I don't care what aisle you sit on. Most people don't like your district attorney for many reasons. And then that many people turned out, and she won by that amount.
Yeah. It's hardwired
no
to
sense.
The machines.
Mm. Yeah, it makes no sense.
They'll do whatever they want, and then they put it out.
And that's it. I heard someone say, well, you know, the new guy, you know, he didn't have any experience. How we been doing with the one that's experienced?
Exactly.
You know, look at the county. Look at how many prosecutions there are. How many were not being prosecuted? We got a revolving door over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of problems, and I'm not saying every one of them's her fault, but I'm saying you got to get somebody who's going to get in there and prosecute the correct cases correctly.
Sure.
Right. Yeah. And the precinct numbers were high for certain candidates,
mm-hmm.
and then they come into the office in the final count, and now it's like flip-flop. It's like, okay, so you explained to me why all of a sudden I had 70% lead, and now I got like a 5% I'm behind.
Right.
Yeah, it's rigged.
It's
totally
rigged. It's the machine.
Mm-hmm.
The machine.
And we're going to show that.
That's the answer right
so we
there.
We want to invite everyone to come. Of course, come to Tuesday morning, the Board of Supervisors. Crying out, where is everybody? It used to be hundreds and hundreds of people that came, and then the recall came and went, and now everyone's... And this is the most important time to show up and have your voice be heard, saying, we don't want any machines in our county.
Well, in all fairness, they always do the important meetings at 9 a.m. usually,
right.
And people are working. I mean, there's a lot of us that it's really hard.
We
have, time of year it is.
To, yeah, the time of year
that we have
is.
To work. If it's, you know, during tax season, there's no way we can attend.
Of course.
You know, so.
Well, I will be there tomorrow.
But,
Tuesday,
I mean,
awesome.
I'm just saying, you know, that's what the problem is for a lot of people,
sure.
is they
it
have
is.
To
they're,
work.
They're honest people that are taking care of their bills.
Not only right. that, not only that, we're in a climate of a very inflationary climate
yeah.
where a lot of, every dollar counts. Mm-hmm. You know, missing a
yep.
day of work mm-hmm. means you might not be able to buy enough groceries this week or pay your phone bill or whatever it happens to be.
Well,
so that makes
not
it
just
tough.
That too, because you actually, it's even worse than that. And this is a testament to the system that we have right now. Because, for instance, right now, what do we see everywhere? We see shortages of workers.
Mm-hmm.
You can't get the time off to be able to actually go and have your representative hear your voice. And we are having all of this without representation.
Right.
Well, yeah, and a lot of times at those meetings, they take so long to mm-hmm. get to the meet, you know, like public comment. A lot of times
right.
it's 2 hours later by the time we actually get
depends
well, public.
On the, it depends
it
on
depends.
The issue.
I'm
on
just
the
saying
issue,
for
but,
some mm-hmm. people, they can't go to their employer and say, yeah, give me an hour,
well, yeah,
and I can be back.
How many people are there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Dr. Frank's going to be there on Tuesday morning at the County Board of Supervisors. He's going to be able to answer a lot of questions when he gets asked them. So even though he's not on the agenda, it's going to be a great opportunity to get the factual information.
Yeah. Is he going to be able to speak at all?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he is.
We're hoping.
Yeah, we got
yep.
all set up.
More than 3 minutes?
Yep. Oh, we got
we're
it all
hoping.
Set up. So
we
gonna,
got it working.
Yeah. So we're going to go ahead. We've learned what works and how to manipulate for our voices to be heard louder. So here we are. And then also that
we're,
evening at 6
we're
o'clock.
Yep, we're at the top of hour, they're going to cut us off.
It's so great being with you folks. Thank
well, thanks
excited.
For coming in. We really appreciate it. And that's on Tuesdays, so people
yeah.
get
yep.
plugged in. And with that,
yeah, we'll plug it some
thank
more.
Yeah, we will.
That'd be awesome.
This
thank
is
you.
KCNR,
thank
1460
you
AM and 96.5 FM.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Michael Harrington. Today, the 21st anniversary of the 9/11 attacks that killed 2,977 innocent people in 2001. Much has changed since then, but some things have gone back to the way they were. After the U.S. military pulled out of Afghanistan, the Taliban ruled there again, and al-Qaeda enjoys a safe haven. Military advisor Robert McGinnis tells the Salem Radio Network that open U.S. borders are creating gateways for potential terrorists now in a way they weren't in 2001.
The incursion of reported people on watch lists and terrorists that have come across our southern border, and the ongoing conflict between those that are, you know, tough on immigration versus those that are rather lucid, are not very serious about the flow of illegal immigrants across our border and whether or not, in fact, some of those may have terrorist ambitions.
President Biden marked the 21st anniversary this morning, laying a wreath at the Pentagon. His somber commemorations come a little more than a year after he pulled those troops out of Afghanistan. Supreme Court Justice Neil Gorsuch says the person who leaked the Dobbs draft opinion can soon be revealed.
Speaking before a group of lawyers and judges, it was Justice Gorsuch's first public comment since the draft was leaked in June, sparking nationwide enthusiasm that Roe v. Wade would be overturned. Gorsuch said at the Tenth Circuit Judicial Conference in Colorado Springs, quote, "The Chief Justice appointed an internal committee to oversee the investigation. That committee has been busy and we're looking forward to their report, I hope soon." However, he did not say whether the findings will be made public. Chief Justice John Roberts launched an investigation into finding who the leaker of the draft was, but few updates have been made. Bernie Bennett reporting.
Queen Elizabeth's coffin has passed through the rugged Scottish countryside today and now is at rest in Edinburgh. This is SRN News.
It's no secret, America. We've been let down. Inflation is taking its toll in the grocery stores, the products we buy, and the pain of every visit to the gas pump. At Upside, we're fighting back with our free app that pays you back serious money on every tank of gas or diesel, up to 25 cents per gallon, just for using the Upside app, no strings attached. Upside users have already been paid back a total of more than $250 million. With inflation and the soaring price of gas, it's easy to feel like you're losing control. But with Upside's free app, you can start putting money back in your wallet with every gallon. Whenever you want, cash out with PayPal, an e-gift card, or transfer the money directly into your bank account. account. Download the free Upside app and get cash back on every gallon of gas. Use promo code SALEM for an additional 25 cents per gallon bonus on your first fill-up. That's promo code S-A-L-E-M. Remember, use promo code SALEM when you download the free Upside app and get an extra 25 cents per gallon on your first tank of gas. Cashback is not available on gas in New Jersey and Wisconsin.
Good news for renters.
Rents are starting to come down after spiking to record levels this past summer. But experts are uncertain if the slowdown will continue. Christopher Meyer is a professor of real estate at Columbia Business School. He says people looking for an apartment now might have a better experience than they did in May or June. The national median asking rent was up 14% in July over July the previous year. That's the smallest annual increase since November 2021. Experts say the market could slow further toward the end of the year, but there's still a lot of uncertainty. John Scott reporting.
At least three people are dead after a powerful earthquake hit a remote part of Papua New Guinea this morning. Others were injured and infrastructure was damaged in the magnitude 7.6 jolt that was felt across the Pacific country. The three people died in a landslide in the gold mining town of Wau. Other people hurt from falling structures or debris. News and analysis at townhall.com. Two American Indian tribes in South Dakota have joined forces to purchase 40 acres around the Wounded Knee National Historic Landmark.
The Oglala Sioux and the Cheyenne River Sioux say the purchase on the Pine Ridge Indian Reservation is an act of cooperation to ensure the area was preserved as a sacred site. More than 200 Native Americans, including children and the elderly, were killed at Wounded Knee in 1890. Tribes agreed this week to petition the Department of the Interior to take the land into trust on behalf of both tribes. The price, reportedly, $500,000. Jason Walker reporting.
It's not unusual for firefighters to rescue a cat from a burning building, but they don't do it under fire in a war zone that often. Firefighters in Ukraine getting special admiration for doing just that this past week during a rocket attack in Kharkiv. More on these stories at townhall.com.
The views expressed.
Now look here, Joe, quit acting smart. Stop being that old brazen sort. Don't you go sell this country short. No, no, Joe. Just because you think you found a system that we know ain't sound, don't you go throwing your weight around. No, no, Joe. Cause the Kaiser tried it and Hitler tried it, Mussolini tried it too. Now they're all sitting around the fire, and did you know something? They're saving a place for you. Now, Joe, you ought to get it clear. You can't push folks around with fear, cause we don't scare easy over here. No, no, Joe.
Sovereign mind.
Whoa! It went there a little
bit. I thought we were there. Sorry, that was my bad.
Good.
Yeah, Sovereign Mind Radio, home of Free Fire Media, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. We're back.
What a song, man, for the 1950s?
You only say that because you picked it.
Yeah, who's the one that didn't like the rock and roll, really?
He's like, you guys in that old rock and roll. Pew, pew.
Yeah, hey, yes,
I'm just saying.
So he picks a Hank Williams out of the 30s.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not Bo Cephas.
But how about that? I mean, that
was a great song.
That's 1984 right there for how well that matches up today.
What we're talking about, the stuff that we're talking about is timeless. We're just in an age of technology, but this has been going on forever. I mean, this is how countries are run. People in power always want to take over because they want everybody else working for them. It's a power corrupts and absolute power corrupts. Absolutely. But, it's been going on forever.
Yeah. But if you go back and listen to a lot of the rock and roll music, you'll get a lot of messages stuff about what's happening and what we're dealing
listen to the Who. We don't get fooled again.
Yeah, I mean, you can just go, there's so many 10 years after. I mean, you can just keep going on.
Meet the Boss, he's the same as the old Boss. I'd like to change the world. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, it's all
of it. The 10 years after Freaks and Gooks and
Yeah, you're talking about the one I was just talking about. Yeah. I'd like to change the world.
Cricklewood
Green album.
Yeah,
look at
so.
The expansion of government and the way it's gone. And we've got all these new agents. We got all these new agencies. That thing that you were talking about earlier with America's
Standing Army.
Yeah.
Yeah, people ought to really, understand this, that it's, we got really upset when it was just like the IRS agents that are armed. But if you look into it, and this comes from Epoch Times or however you want to say, we got the
Epic
Times. I'm not sure, but
I've always heard them say Epoch Times.
It's not just the
tomato. I say tomato.
Whatever it is. But the point being is, the agencies that they are arming are not just IRS agents. It's the Social Security. It is the EPA. Excuse me. It's the Center for Disease Control, the CDC. I mean, the list just goes on, and they're saying in this article that it's bigger than the Marines. Mm-hmm. So stop and think about that. How many people are working for the government that are armed? They have all this ammo. They have all these guns.
Excuse me.
And, yeah.
So,
check into it.
With that said, we want to, reiterate the election task force is going to be in full force at the Board of Supervisors meeting on Tuesday, September 13th. The doors, it says the doors, that's going to be, I'm looking at the wrong one. That's when they're going to have the guy as a guest on the 13th.
Right.
Okay.
But he'll be at the Board of Supervisors in the morning.
In the morning. So there's going to be two events. I guess I wasn't clear on that. So I'm reading the flyer here and it says that and that's going to be at Twinview with the Freedom Coalition.
Yes.
621 Twinview Boulevard at 6 p.m. September 13th after the Board of Supervisors meeting, which starts at 9 o'clock in the morning typically at the Board of Supervisors chambers.
Right. Exactly. And it costs you $20 at the door that night, or you can go online and get tickets for the evening event.
And Dr. Douglas Frank will be there. He's a Nobel Prize nominee, physicist, chemist, mathematician, minister, featured on Mike Lindell's Cyber Symposium, will be there. He's a nationally known election fraud and expert investigator, has extensive experience in election investigation, has been an expert witness in several voter fraud state investigations. So everybody get out there, and whether you're the Board of Supervisors meeting
support
these people. They need help.
And with that, we do have a caller on the line. It says it's Stones. There you go.
I know who it
Hello?
Is. Stones.
Stones of Iron.
I knew who it was. What can we do for you?
I was thinking Neil Diamond. Never mind.
Some days you're a diamond, some days you're...
Okay. Go ahead. Go ahead, Rich.
Hey. So, I just emailed you guys a few items. So one of the problems we have with our current County Board of Supervisors, I just emailed you the administrative policy that governs how the meetings are run. And the problem with that is you'll read in that document, the board or staff may place items on the agenda. So what that means is, I don't know what the hell that means. It's too generic, isn't it, right? It really should read, any member of the board or staff can place items on the agenda. So that policy needs to be changed immediately. And who can change that? The board can vote and change that policy. So it should read any member of the board. So Patrick, by himself, can't put stuff on the agenda. And this is the problem in a constitutional republic. King Ba, he's the one that basically, or Mr. Minturn, acting CAO, they're pretty much the two people that are going to decide what's on the agenda or not. That's not how a constitutional representative republic works. Patrick Jones, or any individual board member, as a duly, a member of that board, of that body, any one of them should be able to put something on the agenda without permission of the chair or the CAO. So we need to change that policy right away.
I totally agree on that.
Absolutely.
I concede that you have to have some control over, you know, the agenda, because you can't just have it being packed every week with so much stuff. But I get it. There should be a process for anybody to be, you know, involved in getting something on the agenda.
Well, and I agree with Rich on this. When you end up looking at, all right, so you've got five board members, and those five board members are representing five different districts. So if that district raises something, they should be able to put their thing on the board.
I agree with that.
Yeah, I totally absolutely agree with that.
And so
yeah,
if any one of them ends up presenting it, it needs to be heard, because otherwise you just don't get representation because you have four other guys that don't care about your district.
I think you're right.
There you go.
Yeah,
I think you're right.
Like I say, the only thing I'm saying is a process of getting it there. You can't show up the day of and say, we want to put this on the agenda. Maybe you give 2 weeks notice or something like
right,
that.
Right, mm-hmm, right, yeah.
So in that same administrative policy that I emailed to you guys and gal, you'll see that an individual board member may put a presentation on the agenda. And a presentation is exactly what it is. It is not an action item. It is simply a presentation item. So even in that same document, it gives individual board members an authority to put a presentation on the agenda. So why would it not also give that same individual board member the authority to put an agenda, an action item on that same agenda, right?
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, and we've seen, you know, you speak of the presentation thing, and just makes the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because that's where this kind of the feud started a little bit with Les Baugh, was the fact that he stabbed the state of Jefferson in the back on doing a presentation. He said he was going to put that on the agenda to do a presentation, and he went up there and they talked, and they had a vote 4-1, and he was voting with the other four to never have a presentation again on the state of Jefferson, unless there was
a two-thirds vote.
Yeah, I mean, so that's history that a lot of people don't have with Les Baugh, because they're new to the party. You know, we've had people come and talk to us about Les Baugh. Well, he's a great guy. Yeah, how long you been at this? Oh, like 6 months. Well, you know, 15 years later, we've seen a little bit better, you know, more of the different sides of people down there on the board, and have a little bit more of a track record on what they do, because these guys play politics. You know, they play politics for their favor. They want to look good for the public, but they won't hesitate to do something that is not what they've promised to do if they think that they can use that for their own ends.
Yeah.
So this is not a small matter, this administrative policy. It is the red herring that needs to be turned into the elephant in the room. Since Les Baugh does not want to hear citizen proposals from me, he is on record basically saying as such, I think somebody else needs to bring this to the board to amend that very policy. So I hope somebody else starts that push so that we can amend that policy to make us a more constitutional representative body there. And then I have a couple other quick issues.
Sure.
excuse me. On the board meeting this Tuesday, consent item 10, C10, they're going to be looking for additional funding for the electronic polling logbooks. So as it stands now, there are what are called, I think they're called street logs, polling logbooks, whatever. They're paper, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I did email Patrick Jones and Patty Plum this morning on this matter. I don't think I can be at the meeting on Tuesday. C10 needs to be pulled, needs to be discussed, and the electronic poll book funding needs to be denied, because what Kathy Allen wants to do is add more electronic machines and equipment into the voting process. And we all know that more electronics means more possibility of fraud. And in fact, these blog books are going to be live. They will be live connected to the internet live, so that during election day, as people come and go from the polling locations, and that electronic log is updated, it goes to the cloud. I don't know where it goes, but now they have literally real-time data on who is voting, and like Patty said this morning, who is not voting. That is really the key. So C10 on Tuesday needs to be pulled for discussion, and needs to be public pressure to deny the funding for the electronic poll books. And then I have one other item if you have a question.
No. Go ahead. I'm listening.
So last thing, I might be known as Mr. Public Records Act in Shasta County. So I have another one. I got another one. I asked for 2 months worth of timesheets for county information technology employees, May and June of this year.
Mm-hmm.
I think I emailed that stuff to you guys too. Don't look at it. It's 240 timesheets, but I've already looked at it. Guess what? Lots of redaction. Lots of redactions, especially around the voting window, the 29-day voting window, where county IT, actually it was the county council's office that did the redactions, they don't believe we get to know where county IT employees were working, for which department they were working, for what duration they were working, or any of that. They think that is private secret information.
Why would it be private or secret information that we...
Unless
they're not where they're supposed to be or doing what they're supposed to be doing.
Gee, that's a good darn question, isn't it? And by the way, Patrick Jones has a few of these sheets, and I have discussed these timesheets with him in person, and he has very similar concerns, and so he's going to be looking into it a little bit, but we need public pressure. We need somebody at that board meeting. I can't be there this Tuesday.
Yeah, I'll be there on Tuesday.
Somebody there to say, what the hell are you redacting computer employee timesheets for? Are you kidding me? Do you remember the public health employee list with 24 redacted names? Do you remember that book?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, nothing you see here move along, right? Everything behind those black redacted boxes is a crime. I can guarantee it.
I'd like to know what the justification for that is. I mean, what are they saying? It's you know, how could it be private? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me. It's public record.
Then you could find out who's the one that did the key locks or whatever, and know where they were and who it was.
Well, their justification, as usual, is privacy. Release of the information will not further the interests of public discourse. It's all this generic BS to say, yeah, we're going to decide you don't get to see this information, and it sucks to be you. Move along.
Well, Bongino talked a little bit about this week, and after thinking about it, I totally agree. These guys are in power, and they don't care what you think. As long as they can do what they want, they don't care what you think, and that's either going to be public pressure to bear, getting rid of them, changing the voting, whatever it's going to take. But these people do not give a rat's behind what anybody thinks as long as they're running the show.
And I'm digging a little further on these timesheets. You know me. You give me something with black boxes in it, that's going to make me dig even further. So some of these timesheets show these county computer workers logging 16-hour days for 2 weeks straight. And the second 8 hours, they're charging to some asbestos training or asbestos qualification. Yeah, I have those records.
What?
I have the pay code. Yes, I have the pay code. I'll send those to you. Send those to you when I get off the phone.
What's the time frame on those?
Is it during election?
It's pretty much any time. Out of the dozens and dozens of timesheets I have, there's about 50 or 60 of those timesheets have that pay code on it.
Mm-hmm.
Where not only do they get their paid their 8 hour day, they get paid an additional 8 hours under this asbestos coding factor. It's some kind of a pay incentive, but I'm still digging. I'm going to get the MOU for these county computer workers and such and see. But it's just ridiculous.
It just sounds like you're getting a raise.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's bad. It's bad. Anyway, I'll send that stuff to you also. Anyway, that's all I have for today, but I appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks for calling in, Rich. We appreciate it. That's crazy.
Yeah.
And how much money did we spend on that? And again, let's not look at the budget.
Well, that's the problem.
Let's not go there.
That's always the problem with government, is it's self-serving. It gets bigger and bigger and bigger. That's been historically since the beginning of any kind of government, is that it wants more and more power and more wealth. You know, your incentive, it's like the difference, you know, I always tell the story about the farmer. It's the difference between the farmer and the guys who work on the farm. You know, the mindset is totally different if you're working at the government or you're working in the private sector. Here's the mindset. So what do you think the employees are thinking? The employees are thinking of the farmer. They're thinking, well, I hope I get a raise. I want more time off. You know, I want more vacation hours. You know, I want more perks, whether it's a new truck or whatever. What do you think the farmer's thinking?
Same thing.
I hope I hope it rains.
I hope it rains.
I hope my seeds, you know, come up. I hope I have a good crop.
Because he's now, who's dealing in reality? See, he's dealing in the reality of that if they don't have a successful season, nobody gets anything.
Right.
We're all out of business. They don't have jobs anymore. They're living in an illusionary world because if they're not thinking about how to make the farm successful, they're not got a job anymore.
Mm-hmm. They don't survive.
They don't survive. That's the problem with government. They're not thinking about, you know, keeping the taxpayers afloat. They're not thinking about keeping the businesses afloat. They're not thinking about, you know, making sure that the community as a whole is prospering. They're milking it for whatever they possibly can get. And that doesn't mean they're all bad people. It's the nature of the beast.
I want more. I need more, 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 more.
So,
and we see it constantly.
Maybe we should go to a break.
I don't even know what time it is.
It's like 11:23.
We can go to a break. If you want to call in, number here is 530-605-4567. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Your calling into a career at Shasta College this fall. Get a jump start on being transfer ready or boost your current career skills quickly and affordably with a certificate or degree. Our fall semester offers flexible class times and formats with online and more in-person offerings. Plan your tomorrow today by enrolling at Shasta College. Fall semester classes begin August 15th. Achieve more. Earn more. Shasta College. www.shastacollege.edu. Enroll online today.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wayne Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Whether you're squeezing in that last-minute summer vacation, taking the kids back to school shopping, or even back to school, don't forget to stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. With car wash packages starting at only $9, or buy 5 car wash coupons, get one free, or buy 10 car wash coupons and get 3 free. Stop by Quick and Clean Car Wash at Market and Eureka Way in downtown Reading. Quick and clean.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundersen.
I think we're back.
We're back.
Well, we're back.
Yeah, I'm going to have to pay attention to the time frames.
I just never know.
Yeah, I've
I like to surprise you guys.
Hey, here's one for you. Did you see now where if you purchase guns or ammo or anything with a credit card, they're going to keep track of you more?
Yeah, they have a code on the card purchases that tells you you've purchased a gun. And then you have to ask yourself a really simple question. Do criminals purchase guns with credit cards?
Maybe with your credit card they do, but not with their own. That's why they're criminals.
I mean, think about that. Who are they targeting?
Because, exactly.
You know, who buys guns with credit cards? Law-abiding citizens buy guns with credit cards.
You still wouldn't even be able to do it with a stolen credit card because you need to come up with three other forms of identification to be able.
Okay.
Well.
Excuse me.
Bless you. So, but the question is then, who are they targeting? Do criminals use cash to buy firearms?
Yes, all the time on the black market.
So they're not going to go to a gun store, and they're not going to sign up on a list, and they're not going to do their 10-day waiting period, and they're not going to fill out the application, and they're not going to charge it on their credit card.
Story and how 10. Many of them actually pay for their guns?
Story 10. So when I was growing up, I had a friend whose dad was a drug dealer, and for $40, I could get a burner gun.
I don't even know what a burner gun is.
A burner gun is a stolen gun that has the serials and identifications that are all wiped off of it, and they tape around the handle to where you can just use it and toss it when you're done.
I find it very disconcerting that you know that.
Well, the concerning thing about it is a 13- and 14-year-old can turn around and do that all day long, and that's the way it works, because the way most gun crime actually works,
they don't get prosecuted.
It's mostly stolen guns, and also in California especially, like, you end up looking at the most unsafe places for guns to be. It's in officers' vehicles.
The world has gone completely freaking nuts.
That's just the way it is. But that's not going to end up affecting any of that. All this is once again policing law-abiding citizens. And in that turn, we have an amazing new law that's going into effect called the Safe T, big capital letter T, Act in Illinois. So under this new law, entire categories of crimes such as aggravated batteries, robberies, burglaries, hate crime, aggravated DUIs, vehicular homicide, drug-induced homicides, all drug offenses, including the delivery of fentanyl and trafficking cases, are not eligible for detention no matter the severity of the crime or the defendant's risk to a specific person or the community, unless the people prove by clear and convincing evidence that a person has a high likelihood of willful flight to avoid prosecution. Additionally, in cases involving non-probationary forcible felonies such as murder and armed robberies, judges may only detain a defendant under the new law if the prosecution proves by clear and convincing evidence the defendant poses a real and present threat to the safety of a specific identifiable person or persons. So imagine in this case a defendant who murdered his wife, to whom he no longer poses a threat, being released because of this ridiculously limited legal standard. This is from the Redford Register Star. But yeah, so, all right, wife pisses me off, bang, she's gone. I'm not even going to go to jail. Let's say I got beef with you. You took $20 from me. I shot you dead in the streets. I'm not going to go to jail.
Don't bring a gun.
Yeah. But if you defend yourself with a gun, by gosh, you're going to jail for a long time.
Especially if you're white.
Sorry. Sorry about that, Siskiyou. I screwed up. He's in the chat room.
All right. Well, here's a good note. Here's a good note about stuff. America, first legal pursuing lawsuit against critical race theory, Stephen Miller. Wow. Going to sue him. Isn't that nice?
So,
that's very good.
So
I got another good one. So 400 doctors as of September 10th, 400 doctors and professionals declare international medical crisis due to COVID vaccine injuries and deaths. Over 400 doctors, scientists, and professionals from more than 34 countries this morning declared an international medical crisis due to diseases and deaths associated with the COVID-19 vaccines. Launched at a press conference on Saturday, September 10th, the declaration states, "We are currently witnessing an excess in mortality to those countries where the majority of the population has received so-called COVID-19 vaccines. To date, this excess mortality has neither been sufficiently investigated nor studied by national and international health institutions."
Well, here, that kind of feathers into what I've got here. This pulled up, all eyes on Governor Newsom in California as they look to pass nation's first law to punish doctors for COVID misinformation.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that. And speaking to that, didn't they just release, what's her name, Dr. Gold or out of
Simone
prison?
Gold, she just got out.
Yeah, she just got out of prison.
10 days early, but
yeah.
I should probably mention the bill. It's California Assembly Bill 2098, passed August 29th by the California Senate, is now waiting Governor Newsom's signature, would subject doctors and others to disciplinary actions, including their having their license to practice medicines in California suspended or revoked for spreading vaccine disinformation, which means anything that they don't agree with.
Yeah, they don't like.
And that's freedom, folks.
Yeah.
That's going to be a problem. You can see if that goes into law, how many doctors are you going to have in California? Mm-hmm. I don't know, but I think that
not very many.
What's the quality of doctors?
Well, that's where I'm going. Is that who's going to be a doctor that's a conservative, doctor who has seen what the damage of the COVID vaccines has done?
Right.
Get a second opinion as long as it agrees with mine.
It's true.
Exactly. And then you got the FDA refuses to provide key COVID-19 vaccine safety analysis.
Oh, this is a fun one. So, New York, everything is going swimmingly. They just declared a disaster emergency after polio is detected in the wastewater.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
I saw that. Well, then, okay, so we're going to do this. Newsom, okay, here's another one from Newsom. He promises there will be enough electricity for all Californians after everyone moves to Florida.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, I've got this
except
one here.
For the people coming over the border.
In a recent move,
they're not used to electricity.
In a recent move, they're trying to pass this bill. It's AB 257, to where they want to make it to where they initiate a council that is going to determine fast food workers' wages up to $22 minimum wage.
That's crazy.
That starts at the first of the year if it passes.
Here.
So you can have a restaurant worker making $22 an hour while you've got a dock worker or somebody else working their butt off making $18 around here.
What about the people that have been there for a while? Like the managers. What's that going to do?
Yeah.
I think that what you have to think about is that when you go to In-N-Out Burger, it's going to cost you $30 for a burger, fries, and a Coke.
Well, it probably does now. Actually, In-N-Out is one of the better businesses around.
Absolutely. No question about it. I love it. But if they force them to pay their guys $22 an hour, mm-hmm. number one, they're probably going to leave the state. Number two, if they stay in business, your price of a hamburger, fries, and a Coke is going up.
Yeah. Well, and right now they're estimating an increase of about 20% based upon this bill. And that's
that's 20%. Well, okay, their estimations are always hold true.
Right. Yeah, they 20, never miss.
You can double or triple that estimation easily, by the way. They say that, who runs these numbers? They got a couple of Chinese guys with an abacus in the closet down there government, Governor Newsom's office. It's just, sure. These guys are stupid. They don't understand basic economics. You can tell. I mean, just listen to Biden talk for a while. They don't understand anything. We're going to fix everything, with billions and billions of dollars. Where are you getting them? Who cares? It doesn't really matter where the billions are coming from. We have a machine that does that.
Yeah. But also, I mean, the bright side, renal failure is only up 612% over the elevated COVID period.
No.
Well, it's getting to the point that, this whole thing is going to break, and we're talking about a great reset. And yes, I think this whole thing is about ready to grind to a halt at some point. Is it going to be before the election? Is it going to be after the election? I think they're pushing before the election so they can come in to save us. So I don't know. If you're not prepared for a little bit of a problem here with the supply chains and food and everything else, I think you're not listening very, very well.
70% of the global supply of food is currently not there, and we're still working on the last year's food. We're also looking at LNG and all the liquid natural gas and all of the fuels all across the world right now that are all screwed up. This is going to be a dark winter.
I agree.
It certainly could be.
Winter, especially in California.
Winter is coming for sure. And I've got a list of 33 that we got sent, 33 things that we know about the coming food shortages. I'm not going to go into those today, but I think I'm going to hit them next week and talk about them. I do want to play a little clip from Buddy Brown here on Truck Sessions. And this goes to all of the transgender people out there and all the LBGQTXYZF, whatever. And I just wanted to play this because I think it's appropriate for, you know, what we're talking about. As far as the government out of control, everything's out of control, morality's out of control, pronouns are out of control.
What isn't out of control?
Okay, here we go. Are we ready? All right, here we go. Here's Buddy Brown. The title of this is All My Exes Changed Their Sexes.
All my exes changed their sexes. She used to be a her, and now she's a he. But all my exes changed their sexes. Thank God we broke up back in 03. Rosanna's down in San Francisco. LGBTQ. Sweet Eileen is now called Steve. She looks just like a dude. And Allison takes medicine. Somehow lost her sanity. And Dimples, well, it ain't that simple. Fell in love with a drag queen. All my exes changed their sexes. She used to be a her, and now she's a he. But all my exes changed their sexes. Thank God we broke up back in 03. Some folks think I'm far right, but I just don't prefer guys. Thank God we broke up back in 03.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you got that meme that's going around about the that bulge in the pants of a right-wing girl.
Yeah.
Is a gun, and the bulge in the pants of a left-wing girl is a penis.
Woo. I think I'll pass on that one.
I was just saying woo because what was going by the window as we all that was going on.
I wonder if there's not like a protest going on.
Yeah, well, there you got some going that way and you got others coming back. It's like, whoa, okay.
Who knows? Here's another one that we should probably talk about. Judge gives Fauci, that's, you know, rat-faced Tony, 21 days to turn over emails with social media giants. Now, this is interesting. It comes from the Defender Children's Health Defense Network. A federal judge on Tuesday ordered Dr. Anthony Fauci and the White House press secretary to hand over the communications with five social media giants. The ruling stems from a lawsuit alleging that the Biden administration colluded with the companies to censor COVID-19 viewpoints that weren't aligned with the administration's official narrative.
Imagine that.
And, you know, it just tells you why there's so many people walking around with their heads so far up their,
Kabuki! They're in the cloud.
There you go. That they don't know right from, they don't know what the truth is. They don't even know what, they don't even know right and wrong. They don't even know what a man and a woman is.
Well,
they do.
Mm-hmm. I got another fun one here.
Go ahead.
All right, so judge dismisses lawsuit by Jeffrey Epstein accuser against Prince Andrew following settlement. A federal judge dismissed a lawsuit by a woman who accused Prince Andrew in Britain of sexually assaulting her when she was underage after both sides agreed to settle the case out of court. Nothing to see here.
Well, I mean, why has nobody ever been investigated on the Epstein thing anyway?
They were too busy raiding Mar-a-Lago.
They had no
clients.
There's no clients. Epstein was in it by himself, you know. And then I saw something the other day that said he was
all those
ex-CIA, informant or something. Yeah. It's like, good grief, you can't make
all
this
those
crap up.
Logs are all made up. Here's one for you: members of Congress, their aides, and federal courts are exempt from vaccine mandate. Imagine that.
Yeah, what's good for me is not good for
thee. You. Yeah, nope.
Yeah, that's I don't know. It's just unbelievable where we're going, and
He done that. Biden done that with two executive orders on Thursday, by the way.
I don't even know what to say. I think let's go to our last break so we can regroup and recalibrate our stuff, because I just want to go home and drink some coffee or something and suck my thumb. I don't know.
I got all kinds of material.
I know. Yeah. Let's go to a break.
All right. We'll go to a break and we'll come back. This is KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
Watching the positive transformation that often occurs when a senior moves here to our beautiful, independent retirement community. Seniors can become isolated, find it hard to eat good, healthy meals, and even just get around. I call this a failure to thrive.
Should we start first? Let's get the report in. 52%. It's from Rasmussen. Thank you. Not Rasputin. This is 52% of Americans say that they would, of likely U.S. voters, would say they would support an impeachment of Biden. And 38% say they would strongly support it. The poll margin includes 70% Republicans, 50% independents, 32% of Democrats. Who would like to see the current president impeach from his position. So, I guess you just don't get that on any mainstream, right? I mean, all we get is polls that you listen to the mainstream media, and it sounds like he's doing okay.
He's doing great. Everybody's happy.
Back.
Yeah.
You know, they're going to win in November. It's going to be a blue tide. You know, it's going to be a blue tide, all right. It's going to be a blue tidy bowl, if you ask me, if there's a fair election that comes down.
That's what happens when your breakfast cereal contains Tide Pods.
Well, that's true. That's the new craze in the morning, you know. Blue Captain Crunch.
Yuck.
Second one here. National Firearms Survey conducted in 2021 and updated earlier this year examines the breadth of gun ownership and the use of guns throughout the country. It found more minorities and women own guns than previous surveys indicated. Half of gun owners reported carrying a handgun for self-defense and nearly a third reporting having used a firearm to defend themselves, and a number translates that over 1.6 million defensive uses per year.
But my teacher said that guns kill people. I told her my pencil failed my math test.
Yeah, hey, there you go. My dog ate the paper and pencils are evil.
Pretty much. Yeah. Just swipe your credit card for ammo purchases.
Yeah, just keep going.
So here's a pretty important one, though. So the Department of Homeland Security warns of threats from man-made EMP attacks. DHS urges public and private critical infrastructure to harden facilities. An EMP is a quick, powerful blast of electromagnetic energy that can destroy electronics, leaving other physical structures intact. EMPs may occur naturally. Lightning, solar flares may happen artificially. Nuclear detonation can also cause it. But the DHS report on securing CI was released in the DHS Sciences and Technology Doctorate, which develops guidance on EMP mitigation investments for both public and private sectors. So they're talking about that now at the same time as they're turning around and talking about all of the rest of the citizens who are MAGA Republicans, as Biden so wonderfully said.
So here's my alternative headlines, and then I'll read the story I'm on right now. So this comes from the Drill Down with Peter Schweitzer, who's done a lot of research on the Clintons and what's going on there, Hunter Biden. So his headlines are the Hunter China connection. Why the CDC and an NIH failed to control the COVID-19, how corrupt officials enrich their families, and greedy green energy. So, now, the headline that I'm reading here, but I just want to tell people that here's an alternative news source that, gee, I you don't hear about any of this stuff mainstream media.
Of course not.
But it's called The Drill Down, and it's Peter Schweitzer, and the title is Who is Nicole Flax? And she is an Obama era appointee, and she's going to be the one that is heading up the aggressive expansion of the IRS that's coming on. So according to a report from Town Hall, the Biden administration has tapped former era familiar face Nicole Flax to lead the aggressive expansion of the IRS, and not the good kind of familiar. Flax worked with Lois Lerner, the central figure in IRS scandal that saw the agency targeting conservatives and Tea Party affiliated group. Now, this is not speculation. We know this stuff because we were there. We were part of the lawsuit. So it's not like this is some, made up story, but now, and I wanted to correct this from last week because I said it was Lois Lerner, so I wanted to drill down on it. It's Nicole Flax, because she worked for Lois Lerner while they were being sued, while they were targeting these organizations, and she, if you go read through the stuff in this article, she knew that they were targeting, they knew that what they were doing was illegal, they knew what they were doing was wrong, and they did it anyway. Because they don't care. They're in power. And nobody got punished.
When do they ever?
Lois Lerner got a pension. She got to retire. And now we've got her second in command or whatever command position she held is now leading the expansion of the IRS under Biden. Gee, what could go wrong?
Right. Well,
exactly. Here's the deal. You get caught, you resign in disgrace, and we promote you to the top of an organization above where you were at before. that's the way this works. I got a story right here sitting in front of me that came to my attention this week. This is from Reuters in 2013. The project run by Chinese Academy of Sciences, a government body with close military ties that coordinates to the country's science and technology strategy, the Academy has designed thorium for a priority of China's top laboratory. The program has a budget of $350 million. In a Tennessee lab, as it happens, helped prior thorium reactors. The Pentagon and the energy industry later sidelined the technology in the favor of uranium, is now helping China, with our money, build thorium nuclear reactors while we get solar. Yay!
Wow. Yeah.
So you give them the technology that actually works, and you give us the crap we got to turn around and buy every 16 to 20 years.
We know we're compromised. We know that China's got our president compromised and his son, and they're in their back pockets. So, you know, whether it's him or somebody behind the scenes pulling the strings, which we all have figured out has got to be, because Biden's either a really good actor or he's really screwed up. Or a really good actor who screwed up.
Yeah, exactly. I was going to say, what about both? You know, let's just put it in perspective.
So it's we're definitely way into crazy.
Well, and mind you, too, this gets back to the problem that we've been experiencing all of this time, because this is right here. Thorium was looked at by the United States in the 1950s and 60s, according to some observers. However, it was dropped when it was found out it could not be weaponized.
It's endless energy, and I've seen the demonstration of the guy who invented the thorium reactor. Mm-hmm.
And it's safe. Freeze plug.
Yeah.
That when it
it melts, and there's no byproduct of anything that's
goes
toxic.
Down to a holding tank, right. And it's completely bioavailable to be used completely.
Right. No, I'm with you, and it's crazy. Here's another crazy story. Memphis mass shooter released early from prison on prior aggregated assault charges. So the guy...
What?
Yeah, the guy that was walking around...
So you have more charges against you, so you get out of jail before the next guy.
No, the guy got out of jail. They let him go on an aggravated assault charge, and then he goes out and starts shooting people on a Facebook live feed. Did you see that?
Mm-hmm. No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, so he goes on a killing spree that lasted hours, spread across 8 crime scenes. Among the victims were their nurse, you know, reported been shot and killed, carjacked in front of her daughter. See, we're not getting anybody prosecuted. This guy should be hung and strung, as far as I'm concerned. And that's what we need to get back to, is there has to be an accountability across the board.
Oh, yeah.
They need to bring back tar and feathering, running out on a rail, the stocks in the center of the court, and the hangman's noose.
So back on the 8th, you had a Democrat official that was arrested for the murder of an investigative journalist, Jeff German, and... This is what we see. We see that they say we're the violent ones and that we're going to do political violence.
Oh, we're the fascists.
Yes.
And yet you got this guy that's going out and killing journalists. And it's over and over again. It's repetitive. At this point, every one of the ABC boys should be defunded, all their positions taken away, the local police departments, put them all out. We have a duly elected sheriff department and his deputies, and fund the crap out of those guys.
Right.
That fixes these problems. Because right now, you've got so much government overhead, so many of these employees, and they're not doing anything. What are you getting out of it? What are we getting? What do we see? I've got another one right here from the FBI. Hiding potentially explosive records on Jeffrey Epstein, internet sleuth claims after FOIA denial. So
they're protecting somebody, obviously.
Right. Oh, they're protecting a lot of people. There's so many people like Mr. New President or New King over there. There was some records I was seeing of him also going to that island. And you had that ABC gal that ended up being told that the Queen ended up saying that, hey, you got to shut this story down from ABC News, which is why they never looked into Epstein in the first place. The amount of corruption that we have and that we're seeing, it should be a national and international concern for everybody.
I think it is. I think it's starting to happen that way. But what's going to happen is that when we get to the food shortages here that are coming, and the money shortages that are coming, and the resource shortages that are coming, there's going to be a big outcry, and I think you're going to try to take advantage of that to say, okay, we're here to help.
Well, exactly. Yeah. They want you to beg for the breadlines and say, please, sir, give me some more.
Right.
No pudding for you.
No soup for you.
No.
So we need to, again, we're at the last part of the show, and I just wanted to mention again, you know, 21 years ago, you know, on 9/11, we were attacked by Islamists, and a lot of those Islamists were Saudi Arabian citizens, you know, and what did we get out of that whole thing? Our whole world changed from then on, and we're here where we're at today. So to think that this whole thing has not been a little bit of a planned event, it's kind of hard not to, it's hard to swallow that, you know, this hasn't been creeping along all along, but that was sort of the catalyst that started this whole thing in the tumble. And, but it's getting interesting, I'll tell you what.
Yes, it is.
If you're not a little bit prepared out there, guys, you need to do a little homework. You need to get prepared, some food, some, you know, whatever you need to do. Because I think we're going to see food shortages before the winter's out. I think we're going to see shortages of just about everything before the winter's out.
Yeah, because how many plants are we out now?
I don't know. I last checked. I can't confirm this stuff. See, that's the hardest part.
Yeah, I keep getting, you know, like 400 or something like that, but I haven't found any evidence of that.
That's the problem.
But even if it's not that many. We do know that there's 50.
Some.
Yeah.
We know there's some. We know it's been happening on a regular basis. Fires, bombs, whatever it is. And that can't be all coincidence. But the problem is we don't have anybody reporting the truth. And you can get some on the, online on the media, but you can't necessarily trust that as well. But, it's just a crazy time that we're living in, people.
I'm losing my crap over here.
I got 2 minutes.
I missed this one. So this was a dossier.substack, and it was on the Pentagon's release and a Freedom of Information Act explaining how the mRNA vaccines were lawful to use and to be forced on people. There is one sentence on this page that is not redacted. We found no indication of misconduct by Secretary Kendall, and then the whole rest of the page is just blacked out.
Before we go, I want to get, did you guys see where New York did a state of emergency because the busloads of immigrants that were being shipped in there?
Yeah, I did see that.
They got a little upset when they got their fill of immigrants.
I got another thing here that I was going to mention that didn't get put on the board, but it is. And this is the FBI's hiding Epstein's records. This comes from Technofog, this guy's spot on everything he's done that I've seen.
That was what I was just talking about a minute ago.
Yeah. I mean, so CDC emails, our definition of vaccine is problematic. Is that the one I was focusing on something else here, but they've got it. You know, was you on Technofog too?
Yeah, I did the Technofog, and then that other one, that's a different one that I didn't end up getting to hit. But
we're at the top. Out of time.
Yep, anyway, we are.
Wow.
A lot of information out there.
Yeah, yep. Absolutely. Okay. What do we say? Government is not reason, is not eloquence. It is force. Force like fire is a dangerous servant, a fearful master.
And you've been listening to KCNR, 1460 AM and 96.5 FM.
All gun control is right.